We're like skateboarding and freeway ramps. You know, we're like tuna fish and cigarettes, pigs and swimming, Easter morning and Lyme disease, suits of armor and electrical storms, camping trips and headlights, like square dancing and handguns. Right?
It's a really great intro.
Thank you.
I saw something really cool. Somebody on Reddit posted that who owns Fox? Fox owns Deadpool right now, the movie rights. Well, they had went through and redid a whole bunch of movie covers with Deadpool. And it was one of the coolest things I had ever seen.
I like the speed one.
Yes, they like redid all these Fox movies with Deadpool. And it was like he was just doing all these different joke things. And it was pretty funny. You got to check that out, Reddit. It was like, excellent. Oh, Reddit's going to have to buy 400 movies. What's up? This is Casual Lit. I'm Jason.
I'm David.
I'm Rody.
I'm Chris.
Welcome. Today we have a very special guest.
We do. We have Sam from Braindead.
That's me. I'm Sam from Braindead.
Hi, Sam from Braindead.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Dr. Nick.
Oh, I did that in Dr. Nick. That's
that's weird.
That's backwards. I haven't been on a mic in a while.
I don't know who that is. Is that bad?
From El Simpsons.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Or as you guys probably get in America, The Simpsons.
Inflammable means flammable.
Whoa.
It's bad when I'm not getting any references. I know how y'all feel every time I open my mouth.
So, Sam, we really appreciate you coming out here. I know you said that you've been a little under the weather. This is where I tell you a surprise. We're about to do a little game show that we like to do. It's called Find the Adjunct. Yeehaw. In the beer, so okay, we'll test your palate.
As soon as that butyric acid spike opens up, watch me run out of the room.
I was about to say, did you adjunct these beers?
He added junk.
Yeah, my junk.
There it is. We did those in the brew house, typically, before the barrels.
I goaded the shit out of that.
Yummy.
Waiting? No? Okay.
Whatever. I thought you were talking about the goat.
Oh, wait, yeah, the goat.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about... Yeah,
Charlie. I thought we were putting Charlie the Goat Dodson.
Oh, no. he's not that important.
So what is it? It's the Batwing, the Abraham Lincoln, but it only counts if you shave to look like its beard, right? What else is there? It's obviously the goat's the big one. I haven't watched that movie in a minute.
From Waiting?
What's the goat, the big one?
Goat is the closer. Yep. Absolutely. That goes on your permanent record.
I get to kick you in the ass three times or whatever.
Yeah, for that, you get three kicks.
What's that actor's name who has sex in the bathroom?
Yes, he has a statue on the community, the TV show Community. He has a statue on that campus, and it's as himself, and I always forget it, and that's probably incredibly racist.
My phone is too far to research right now. Lewis? I want to say Lewis.
Lewis Guzman.
Dude, look at that. Yeah.
Found it.
Boom.
We did it.
Now it's time to Google to see if I'm right or racist.
Also from Count of Monte Cristo fame.
I mean.
That's right.
That's it. We're done.
I mean, if you want to be highbrow with your movie references.
Hey, you know, he plays the same character in every movie.
He does. He plays Luis Guzman. Yeah. Yes, I got it right.
Nailed it.
I even got the accent on the A with Guzman, not Guzman.
There you go.
Wow.
Can I have my assist for that?
Yes.
Am I allowed to?
Thank you.
Yes.
That counts as half a tackle each.
Only need... No, you get the points. We're playing basketball rules.
Gotcha.
You get the points. I just get the assist.
Home run.
The pass. I'm the John Stockton. That's a reference for you. 1970s.
Now it makes sense with those shorts you're wearing.
Checkmate.
Doo-doo-choo.
So speaking of highbrow, Sam, do you want to introduce this first beer we're drinking?
Yeah, we have Bent de Guard here, which was one of my our first barrel-aged releases at Braindead. Our first two barrel experiments were Hammer of the Gods and Imperial Wheat Porter aged in bourbon barrel.
Yes.
And then this one is Bent de Guard, which is a beer de guard that we aged in red wine barrels. This is a special release for Festicle every year, which is our November festival of barrel-aged, wild, and delicious beers. And so that's where Bent de Guard gets released every year. And this is the 2016 vintage of that. So a little bit of all kinds of different things going on here.
Yeah, I just checked really into it on Untappd, and it is out of production.
We make it once a year. So nice. This 2016 vintage is I believe is its own unique listing on Untappd. Maybe I'm not sure how they do the vintages these days. I resurrected my 2012 Untappd profile the other day and
nice.
Got to get excited about Portsmouth Kate the Great all over again.
Very nice.
And yeah, so this is This is one of our favorites. It's kind of like a brewer's beer because, you know, you don't see a lot of beer de garde out there. Anybody not familiar with beer de garde, it's kind of like a malt forward saison. It's in that farmhouse camp. Mm-hmm. We definitely inoculate with Brettanomyces here, so there's lots of that good barnyard funk. Mm-hmm. But there's actually a grain presence going on here, which isn't necessarily something that you always see with Brett beers. So a little bit more of the old school approach.
No, that's very nice. You mentioned not many people do the beer de garde. I think the last one I can remember was the one that Southern Star. I don't know if they still do it or if it's like what you guys do, like a once a year type thing. Something Living Death in French, the Mort Vivant.
Okay,
that's about the last one I can remember. Having.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of them, and you know, I am very proud of our beer that we are all enjoying here together right now. But it is also one of the highest ranked on Untappd beer de garde out there.
Nice, congrats.
So you know, not a whole lot of depth in that field, but still something we're very proud of.
Still not too shabby.
Yeah,
which, no, and it's super refreshing.
I'm not just saying this. These guys know I don't like anything that's in wine barrels or wine, and this is really good. So I feel like something's wrong. I got to figure out what's wrong with me.
It's really held up well.
Thank you.
And yeah, I would.
Thank you.
And this isn't something that I've just had cellared. Like, I found this the other day in a liquor store. So
even better.
That always worries me when I see something on the shelf that has some access to sunlight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit worried. Yeah, I was a little bit worried about this.
Flesh.
This is really good.
Well, cool.
Damn it.
Well, thanks. I'm extra glad to know that it came off the shelf. I know we take damn good care of the ones that live at the brewery.
Sure.
We still have some 2016s. We release a couple cases every month or two.
Nice.
Just so we can have 16 and 17 on the shelves next to each other. And some people like to experiment and see what the same beer tastes like with an extra year of
verticals.
Life on it.
As one should. But it's cool that you can get the two in one go and you don't have to, you know, basically donate a year to a beer in order to do a vertical like that. So that's cool that you guys provide that option.
Yeah, thanks. And also, I want to give a shout out to some Austin brewers, Independence Brewing down in Austin. I've been working with Amy and those folks for a really long time. They fell in love with this beer so much, they made a beer de garde that was really trying to, you know, pay homage to the one that we made, and they asked if they could call it Brain Bread. So we gave them the thumbs up, and you know, we kind of, you know, you can't, TABC has weird who can say what on what labels, so that's not necessarily officially listed anywhere, but they gave us the first keg of it ever released into retail format.
That's freaking awesome.
Wanted to make sure we were taking it as a compliment instead of the you know, an act of war. But you know, old school brewers. We like each other.
So. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, and Brain Dead just recently had a birthday, not too long ago.
We did. We just turned three.
Happy birthday.
No more terrible twos. We've learned a few more words besides no, and we're ready to move on with our childhood. Imagination is starting to happen. You know,
very nice. Forming memories, lasting memories,
which will come into play when we have our next beer, I think. When you talk about imagination.
Imagination. SpongeBob.
Yeah, that next beer is not very good for forming memories, I'll tell you.
Kind of the opposite effect.
Yeah. Well, it's we have a beer called Memory Hole that's an American barley wine that's like specifically for making you forget bad things that happened to you.
Oh.
Dry hopped with chloroform.
Yeah. Party pooper is more of the like, let's celebrate bad memories and have them wash away in the background.
Excellent.
Let's talk about Brain Dead.
All right.
Let's talk about where it came from.
Brain Dead, where it came from. You know, that's kind of one of the funny things is we have a lot of different stories for where Brain Dead came from. If you give it some research, you can find both myself and Jeff telling 4 to 6 different stories, depending on how far in you deep you dig.
Audience.
I mean.
How many party poopers you've had so far in the day?
Yeah, exactly. Someone asked us where Brain Dead came from, and Jeff, just without blinking, looked him straight in the face and was like, it's a zombie reference. We're really into zombies. I was like, man, that's lazy. You're familiar. We agreed we'd tell a new story every time. But no, really, Brain Dead's kind of one of those funny stories. Jeff, my partner Jeff Fryman, and I, we started it together. but really brain dead started before I even became involved in it. I was working for Flying Saucer. I was the assistant beer director, or assistant to the beer director, depending on who you asked. But my man Keith Schlabs is still Captain Keith with Flying Saucer, and my job was trying to help him do his for a little while when they started adding some new things: Meddlesome Moth, Bird Cafe, Rodeo Goat, some of those other restaurants were joining the family. And nice. Jeff Fryman, Mate Hartai, and I were studying for the Master Cicerone exam. For those of you who are not familiar with the Master Cicerone exam, it sucks. And yeah, that's about all there is to say about that. But Jeff and I, and Mate, are all three proud failures of the Master Cicerone exam.
I heard you're not allowed to pass it unless you failed it once.
You know, that's definitely one of the rumors. I got a 78 on that thing. You need an 85 to pass.
Damn.
And, I would have passed brewing process and ingredients, and I would have passed pairing beer with food. Styles, Ray Daniels didn't like some of my answers to his beer practical. And the Micromatic facility really didn't like me. I didn't do well on draft systems and maintenance. however, I've built about 6 Flying Saucer draft systems with 85 beers on tap. So, you know.
So it's probably fine.
They're still pouring.
Yeah.
But Jeff and I were studying for that exam, and we both kind of found out that we're both just dudes that like beer and care about it a whole lot. And, you know, honestly, we were beer guys being paid to be beer guys for other people. And as much as the Flying Saucer is my family business, which I didn't mention before, but, as much as that is part of my background, at the end of the day, we were still beer people working for someone else to execute someone else's vision. Jeff used to work at Union Bear and Common Table, and all kinds of really cool beer places around. And he basically talked me into quitting my job and leaving my dad's company and starting one with him. So that's really where Brain Dead was born for me. Prior to that, Jeff had been working in places, and there was a while where Brain Dead was a business plan in his hands, and Brain Dead was always the perfect brewery that never did anything wrong while he was a retail bar manager. So, you know, it's like, oh, you didn't bring a tap handle for your tap takeover? Brain Dead would never do that. And so it's kind of always this fictitious perfect brewery, and so we still pretend it's a perfect brewery.
That's kind of the attitude you have to have.
Very much so. I mean, very much so.
Yeah, in this business.
This is a really weird little segue to that, but I watch esports. I like to say the E is silent and just call them sports. But
Right, yeah.
But Dallas Fuel is an Overwatch League team, and there's like all these kids that are turning 18 and going into these professional leagues.
Professional video games.
Yeah, and they're getting like tweeted at by people, and sponsorship. All of them are having like mental breakdowns, you know, 3 months into being professional gamers. And I just posted in there, I'm like, hey, look, I'm in the restaurant business. I'm used to people talking trash about me on the internet. You need to lay off these children, okay? These are kids that are playing video games for a living. Can we stop telling them that they suck by using GIFs all the time? Like, come on.
What do you mean? Let's talk uplifting. Craft beer is a wonderful community.
I started a new community called Dallas Let's Drink Beer and Be Nice to Each Other. If any of you guys would like to join
it's
only about a couple hundred of us in there, but we're very supportive of each other.
Nice.
And, and we show up and drink at each other's stuff.
So, Don't rip each other.
There's that too.
God bless.
Yeah, I know, and that's part of the reason why we reached out to you, because I know that you were active on that website, so I figured I had a decent shot of getting you to come in and talk to us. But recently, someone that's a haze bro, as one would designate some of these people, had put up, it was something to the effect of all these breweries that have these low ratings on Untappd, and there are all these basic beers, these golden nails,
like
these lagers and stuff like that. And he's like, here, line up, throw your money at them, or you can do it on these beers, all these IPAs and stuff. And he just listed like 2 breweries. And I was like, and Jason has talked about this, and we've learned this as we've been down at the bar. People don't give a shit about your Untappd. No. They come here to enjoy drinking, and most of the time, they don't enjoy drinking heavy fucking beers.
Oh, nope. Yeah, I'm with you there. One of the things about being a brew pub that I love so much, we had the conversation today if we're going to continue to try to carry guest beers. Drew has 27 Brain Dead beers on tap right now.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he basically is like, yeah, I'm ready to put, you know, four or five more on in the next month. Do we need to add taps, or do we need to stop carrying other people's beers?
So. Damn, how do y'all find enough room to make that many beer?
You know, that's just kind of the tricky part is, Drew gets in there and he makes beer happen. You know, I'm fortunate to have, Andrew Herder as my, chief brewer or whatever, his title is these days. And I think the reason that I have the privilege of continuing to sign his paycheck is that I'd let him do whatever the hell he wants. I don't make him hump the same stuff all the time. And he comes in and if he wants to brew three different recipes this week, then he's going to paint himself in that corner and have to play cooler Tetris and do what needs to do to make it happen. And so, you know, it's his brewery. Whenever I grab a keg and take it to an event or something, I ask him if I can have one of his kegs. And
nice.
That's one of the reasons we get along super great is because I know that I have things that I'm good at and he has things that he's good at. And brewing beer is not one of my things. Going and drinking with strangers on podcasts is
hell yeah.
I tend to be pretty good at.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all have our roles and we don't get and screw with each other, which is lovely. So, yeah.
Very nice.
I love Drew and I love his creativity. Party Pooper that we're getting ready to, we're starting to pass around right now.
Yeah. Could you help explain a little bit about the label?
Yeah, the Sharpie, that is mandated by the Alcoholic Beverage Commission. We wrote some things there that they didn't necessarily appreciate. And so any bottle of it that made it out into distribution had been hand-sharpied over where we cut out those disparaging messages of our love for Matt Tobin, Josh Yingling, and Good Friend Beer and Good Friend Package. They said that we cannot put another, and then that's what that black orb is too. That's their Good Friend logo that we also sharpied over. They said that we could not cross tiers and put a retail person's logo on a brewer's label. And we suggested, hey guys, we're retail, we're brewpub. You guys designated that we're not a brewery and that we are retail, so we're not actually jumping tiers here. And they just said, don't tell us what our laws are. So we broke out the Sharpies. We didn't fight it, and we just let it rip. So we had a little fun day at the brewery with some Sharpies where we Sharpied over anything that actually said Good Friend or Good Friend Package. They were fine with the skeletons with their faces on them.
God bless America.
So we were able to keep that going. So now it's a collaboration from Brain Dead Brewing, plus sign, Sharpie marks, happy birthday, Sharpie marks, we love you.
So
nice.
Really accurate description.
Sharpie marks in the Funky Bunch, right?
Yeah. Sharpie marks in the Funky Bunch. God damn, that's good.
Someone
write that down. Josh and Matt are great dudes. They own Good Friend over in East Dallas. Also Good Friend Package and Blind Butcher on Lower Greenville. They're bar dudes. Jeff and I are beer dudes, and those guys are bar dudes, and we're kind of all just dudes in the same industry. So when Good Friend Package was turning two, we wanted to do a collaborative effort and, you know, tell them that we wanted to give them happy birthday. So we were like, all right, well, what's good for birthday parties? Cake. Cake, yes, is good for birthday parties. And then we thought about what liquor shots that we could try to turn into a beer. And pineapple upside down cake is one of those cake shots. So that's kind of how we backed our way into having what I like to call this 10.5% alcohol Imperial Awesome Ale. But Imperial really, awesome it's ale. A starts as a double IPA base beer, and we added a boatload of pineapple puree. Damn. And a little bit of vanilla to get that cake thing going on there.
Freaking fantastic.
Yeah, when you said 10%, I think all of our jaws just went,
doesn't taste like 10%.
That's true.
Not at all. This is very easy drinking. Very delicious.
Beautiful.
I get a lot of vanilla, though. It might be just because whatever, but I'm getting a lot.
It's magical.
Yeah, so, you know, we're happy, and we really care about those guys, and we're happy that they're doing well, and, you know, we haven't gotten any further negative official letters from any governing agencies.
So, yeah, if you're not pissing someone off, you're not doing it right.
I think the Sharpie method was accepted as a proper solution to help us do what we needed to do.
Some brewery sued some state and just won. It was like North Carolina or something. I can't remember what it was, but I saw it and I was like, oh, damn, that doesn't happen in Texas.
Jester King is still having issues. They did a Degard collaboration, and I think they did some of the Northern California brewery, Santa Adaris or something like that, one of those, you know, really, really awesome, cool little guys. But they did a Degard collaboration, and they actually printed their black marks on the bottle as a way of just saying, hey,
just one more
be here. We can't have our logo on here, but here's a black circle that is a conversation starter about
censorship.
Texas is a funny place. We have two of the largest beer distributors in North America are located here in North Texas DFW area. It's the only state that has laws that allow anybody to get that big. Mm-hmm. Of the top five in the United States, three of them are located in Texas. Silver Eagle down in Houston area.
Seems coincidental.
Silver Eagle, which has a connection to a certain logo of a certain brewery. But I'm not allowed to write happy birthday, good friend package on my little waterproof label that I hand adhered. But
probably one of my favorite censorship stories, and now the story is a little tainted because they officially sold out, but Lagunitas produces the Chronic Ale, but it's better known as Censored Ale because when they first came through, the labels were like, nah, you're not putting Chronic on a bottle. Okay. Like, okay, so they put a big Censored over it, and like just the corners of the K on the front and the K on the back were showing. Unbeknownst to that agency, year by year, they shrunk the Censored label that blocked it such that they're like, oh, it's just the same one that you guys did last year. Okay, no big deal. It's approved. Year after year, it finally got to where you could read Chronic easily. Yeah.
That is awesome.
One of my side story of that, when I was down in Austin, I was talking to a good friend of mine named Levi down there that's known as the Beer Yeti. He's the beer buyer for the Specs down in Austin. And he's a cool dude. You'll show up at a music festival and he's like, come out to the woods, I got a keg of Sierra Nevada Bigfoot from 7 years ago.
Like, oh, okay
Levi, lead the way.
But usually when some guy goes, come out to the woods, I think twice.
Well, you know, especially, I mean, this guy like looks like, you know, Hagrid if he was only 6 feet tall, you know. Oh, so he's nice. Got the whole thing going on. Super cool dude, love the guy. But he told me a story right about the Chronic thing one time, and he called the brewery and was like, hey, why is this beer called Censored? How do you want me to label this? I was like, well, that's a crazy story because the government says we're not allowed to call the beer the Chronic, but for some reason, Budweiser gets to call their beer Bud. And like, that's not the same thing at all, guys.
Dr. Dre put out an album called The Chronic. I'm just... just saying, you know.
Do you know why the Dr. Dre album is called The Chronic? Because the story goes, Snoop Dogg thought hydroponic was hydrochronic. And so he called things that were hydroponically grown, hydrochronically grown.
Oh, God.
So Dre
yeah, that's water over time.
Good job. Or so the story goes, you know, who knows.
So, or shizzle.
So, Sam, you say you are a beer guy, but you're also a food guy.
Indeed. Are you telling that by my waistline? Or
did we talk about that? That's a kind of thing to do.
Oh, shit, my segue
is... guest here, Rody.
Has gone up in flames.
I love food. Food is a driving thing in my whole life. I like eating good food. I like eating weird food. You know, I've tried durian fruit before. Like, it was like, oh, it smells terrible. I better put that in my mouth. you know, I like trying new things. And that's, I think that's part of what drew me to beer in the first place was the sense of adventure of getting to always try something new. And I take that same approach to food.
Well, jackfruit's nasty. I've had that recently, jackfruit.
Yeah.
A little new vegetarian thing. And it is disgusting.
Okay.
Everybody else likes it. I do not like that crap.
All right, we'll have to be on the lookout for some jackfruit.
I hate the flavored jackfruit, though, because like you get ones like, oh, this tastes just like pulled pork, and they like super oversauce it, and it's like, it's, oh.
You're talking about testicles, right?
Yes. Like pulled pork. Jack's fruit. Jack's dangling fruit, I think, is the full pronunciation.
That's the actual, yeah.
Yes.
It's the same Jack that makes the games, too. It's weird.
Oh, yeah, you don't know.
And the jerky Jack's links. Yes,
it's the same guy. This guy is busy. This guy is busy. So he does all that and then makes his fruit.
Yeah. One might say he's a jack of all trades.
Oh, there it is.
God damn it.
This pun brought to you by nothing in particular. If you didn't laugh at that, you're lactose intolerant. Thanks,
hey.
David.
So
where were you going with the food thing?
Yeah, remember that thing that went up in flames?
Remember the topic?
Yeah, I was the one to talk about bowls and tacos.
Ah, yes, bowls and tacos. Thank you.
Two of my favorite food. That's two of the top of my food pyramid, bowls and tacos.
Yep.
You know, I was kind of surprised that the bowls and tacos Instagram account was still available. I would have thought that some enterprising young youth would have skipped that up long ago. But,
absolutely.
I was able to get bowlsandtacos.com and bowls and
holy
tacos
crap.
On Instagram yeah. and bowls and tacos, you know, whatever. And my lawyer was like, that's a dumb name. And I'm like, well, you know, we're going.
But it's available.
We're going with it. There's actually a weird thing called the Chipotle rule. You're not allowed to, like, be descriptive with names, or you can't trademark it if you are. So,
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, so in order to try to trademark bowls and tacos, I have to exclusively use the name for 5 years, and then I could enter a long legal dispute with the, you know, whoever the people are that decide who...
Who gets a trademark?
The trademark office. Is that like another city permit or in an old gymnasium somewhere?
It's probably Ethel up on the fifth floor. You'll have to take a number.
Sit down.
Absolutely.
Well, David just got a new job. He's going to be Ethel on the fifth floor. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks. So, I've been here for 76 years.
Jesus Christ. Monsters 3.
Yes.
Mike Wazowski.
It really helps if you had a head cold the previous week as well.
This is true. So what is bowls and tacos?
So bowls and tacos is poke bowls and street tacos. Sounds kind of stupid when I spell it out like that, but that's exactly what it is. Poke bowls hadn't really... well, I'll start at the beginning. So it's in this like 1920s old Gulf station. Cool little Gulf stations had the metal panels on the outside, and it's this cool old building. And I love that it's down in Deep Ellum, 3400 Commerce, down in Deep Ellum and near downtown Dallas. And the guy ran it as a gas station, and then when he stopped being able to pump gas out of it, this same old timer, he turned it into inspections and would do repairs. And then when the future caught up with inspections and you had to have some $40,000 computer to plug a computer in instead of just like opening the hood and inspecting a car, he was kind of priced out of the game. So he lived in this building for a few years after that, while it wasn't a business. And that was just his legacy, was that intersection in that corner.
Wow.
He claims that he put gas in Bonnie and Clyde's gas tank that Clyde gave him a 50 to fill it up and told him to keep the change.
Nice.
I didn't hear that story directly, but I've talked to some people that have. And it was this cool old building. And, you know, as with anything new these days, the mindset is, oh, there's something cool. How can I tear it down and replace it with something that is just replicated all over the world? So
how
that
can
was,
I leach off that goodness?
Yeah, exactly. So that was going to happen. And they didn't know if they were going to keep the metal panels on the outside. And they were going to blow out all this beautiful old red brick on the inside. So I decided that I was going to sign a 20-year lease and make sure no one did that for
nice.
As long as I could be around and prevent that from happening. So next step was figuring out what I'm going to put in this old gas station. You know, just being a food person and person who likes to eat things, my favorite thing to eat at gas stations is tacos. So that's kind of where the tacos got involved in Bowls and Tacos. And then I was out visiting my aunt out in California, and I got introduced to these poke bowl things, and those kind of weren't really around here about 2 years ago. Poke is Hawaiian for chopped up fish. So poke is like cross-cut raw fish. Traditionally, it was like seaweed, raw fish in a bowl, and that's what Hawaiians would eat while they were paddling on the shores.
It's fucking delicious.
Japanese culture came through. The seaweed was often replaced with rice. Now that people are watching their carbs, you're seeing all kinds of different things going into the bases. Yeah, you know, all kinds of different things. I wanted to open a poke place, and I didn't want it to just be poke. I wanted it to be something, you know, part of being in a restaurant is we eat there all day, every day, 7 days a week. I got to be ready to eat in my restaurant two or three times a day. So part of what I was thinking was, how do I build like a balanced menu? I wanted to do tacos. I wanted to do poke. And I was like, that has no connection. I can't do that. And then basically we just decided, you know, there's no rules. I'm going to go ahead and do that anyways. So kind of the excuse was Al Pastor has pineapple involved. And so there was this pineapple bridge. And then Brain Dead being a restaurant and a brewery, it's literally a gluten factory. All the gluten-free diets have been coming up before the vegan thing. I think the gluten-free is the biggest dietary trend of the last decade. I don't like the idea of a restaurant that makes excuses for its food because of a diet. And so we wanted to build a restaurant that was naturally gluten-free, that didn't have to actually make any concessions to achieve that. Nice. So corn tortillas are gluten-free, meat obviously gluten-free, cilantro, onions, tacos, check, poke, done. Raw fish, steamed rice, also no gluten in that situation. So only thing you really got to worry about is don't sub the flour tortillas for the tacos, and ask for gluten-free soy sauce on the poke bowls. And we kind of already have a menu that is dialed in with the current trends.
Nice.
So, you know, whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's how we got to where we are. And so we're making tacos and poke bowls, and now it's quesadillas and burritos and all kinds of different things.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's my favorite restaurant already.
Anything you want to eat, you know, we'll do it.
I liked all those words.
We do raw ahi tuna tacos and a corn tortilla, you know.
I'm a vegetarian that eats fish, so it's like there's nothing that I couldn't eat there.
Yeehaw. We also have Nopal as pickled cactus. That's one of our fun little non-meat proteins that we make tacos out
of. Really? Cactus protein, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, we lump it into the protein
That's
category.
Fine. Yeah. That's awesome.
But yeah, Nopal pickled cactus. It's good. Good eating.
Damn.
So we can, you know, do whatever we want over there.
Yeah. You mentioned that poke is not really taken off. I didn't know what the hell it was. I honestly thought someone was trying to capitalize on Pokemon Go. Like, oh, come here, we're a gym. Like, okay, well, just give me some sushi. Oh, why is it all chopped up on a bed of rice served with some seaweed? Oh, this is actually fucking delicious. Oh, so this was a thing. Okay, so I'm the asshole. Okay, cool.
You know, if you thought Untappd reviewers were not positive about food, the Dallas food writers, the way that they rolled their eyes at the poke trend rolling through North Texas was like with the most fervor of any hatred of anything I've ever seen before.
Condemned.
Like, I was literally reading articles where like, ah, oh, a fourth poke place opened up in North Texas. When's this going to die? And it's like, what is going on?
What if it's just good?
You guys in part of the cow lobby? What's going on here?
What if you just like the damn
God,
thing?
Look at these people following their goddamn dreams.
Totally, yeah. You know, I think a lot of times that happens for business owners is you get accused of just like oh, I'm just here to break in the cash down in the basement. I don't give a shit about anybody up here. I'm just counting my money downstairs.
That's totally how that works.
When Sam pulled up, I did see him get out of his Bugatti. So,
well, you know, don't tell Scott Metzger down at Freetail, but I did get a Lamborghini with that Bent DeGard money. You know,
do your Kit Kat Bugatti voice.
Yeah, you DJ Kit Kat in the house.
I need a Bugatti.
I need a new Bugatti.
There it is. There's the Bugatti voice that we love.
Sorry.
Nailed it.
Got a full cast tonight.
Well, this next beer that Rody pulled out is some fancy-ass IPA from Trillium.
This was a gift from a previous guest on the show, David Untracked.
Trillium.
This is apparently an extremely rare release from Trillium called Congress Street.
Ooh.
Which, guess what? It's a hazy IPA. Actually, it's a double IPA, isn't it?
Whoa, yeah. It's not that old either. Damn.
Yep.
It's only 2 months
old. Hey, boys. Come on over. It's hazy as fuck.
Whoa.
I am so glad that you cut like everything I say and make it a button.
Oh, I like that one.
That was some good ones.
It was. And it's so relatable. Hashtag.
I really like that button, though. You could hit that as many times as you want to.
Come on, your boys. It's hazy as fuck.
I mean, I still
can I kill this?
I still love this.
That is all you.
Swirl your drink a little more cockily. Man, see your audio. You're taking advantage of me audially. Audially?
Yep.
Audible.com.
Audible.com-ly.
Yes. Going straight to the sponsor.
If you go to audible.com/ casually lit, you won't find anything.
/ Radio Lab. You can get a discount.
Don't forget about Blue Apron. I like to cook with Blue Apron. Damn it, Rody. Damn you.
They're totally our sponsor, and they love our show.
Yeah.
And also Casper Mattresses, because apparently people like to sleep.
Yeah. And you can try it for 30 days for free. All you got to do is pay for the returning shipping.
I've got all you have to do is call them to set up this sponsorship currently.
You guys want to hear the story about the time I called a random mattress firm and started making threats to the general manager? Oh.
Yes, start it now.
So has everybody been to the State Fair of Texas?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you go to the State Fair of Texas, they have those barns where they sell both mattresses and hot tubs. And you're like, man, how drunk do you have to get on corn dogs to leave the State Fair with a hot dog?
Yeah.
Well, only in Texas.
Let me tell you exactly how many corn dogs that is. Me and my fiance were at the State Fair buying a hot tub. And, you know,
as one does,
the guy had the best sales move ever. We're walking down and he just walked straight up to us and he goes, "You look like the type of couple that needs a hot tub with more cup holders than maximum occupancy." I was like, "How did you know?" He showed us a model with 12 cup holders with a five-person occupancy.
What the hell?
Five or six people, but it's like,
that's awesome.
It's mind-blowing.
That is awesome.
Mind-blowing.
Carry the one. Yeah, that's a fuckload.
Yeah, mind-blowing.
Was there like a pyramid over your head?
We got to ring the bell and do the whole thing. Got a floor model. Got a sweet deal. Invited him down to Braindead. We had a couple beers afterwards, and it was supposed to be the floor model. So after the fair was done, they were supposed to bring it straight on by the house. And
did they not?
They did. A month or two later, shows up. No
cup holders.
And we like pushed it and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's scheduled for delivery in 2099. It's like, "Oh yeah, that seems like what I did." It's like, "Here, take a down payment, and then how about you give my grandchildren a shitty hot tub here in a few years?
An antique hot tub."
Yeah, exactly. So we were having a hard time getting the hot tub, and I called No Aqua Firm. That's the company we bought it from. There's no Aqua Firm.
That sounds cool.
You can't go to a store.
Aqua Firm.
Yeah.
The name's a contradiction. Water is quite infirm.
Yeah, exactly. A little research. I found out that Mattress is obviously a sister company of Mattress Firm. It's the aquatic arm of the...
They're aquatic.
I get clever. That. That's clever.
Where do we go, the mattress guys, where do we go from here? And somebody says water, and he's like, done.
So I got in a situation where I had no hot tub. They were cashing the checks. You know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any doors to ring or anything like that. So I found the closest mattress firm to my house, and I called and asked to speak to the general manager and told them my story. And he was like, "Man, that's a rough story. Unfortunately, this is a mattress firm, and we don't sell hot tubs, so there's nothing at all I can do for you." And I was like, well, I just wanted to give you fair warning because your store is where I'm going to show up every single day until I have a hot tub. So I wanted to give you a call, introduce myself, let you know that I'll be by the shop tomorrow around opening time when you probably don't have a whole lot going on.
Yep.
And then we can talk directly. He's like, you know what? I'm going to have someone call you back real quick. And within an hour, I had a phone call, and that afternoon, they dropped off a hot tub that was still wet on the inside.
The truck comes up. So it was the floor model.
It was a floor model from somewhere else. And they were like, just get this guy a hot tub. He means business. And
you know they just repoed Jim Bob's hot tub right before he was getting in.
I'm waiting for it to get nice and warm before I get, hey, where'd it go?
Oh, yeah.
Don't put a black light on that.
Still wet on the inside, so
you got your hot tub.
I do. Yeah.
Did it have any cup holders? Did it?
All 12 cup holders still in there.
Damn right.
And I don't know if you know where the Cedars is, but that's where the male prostitutes and drug dealers tend to congregate, just south of Deep Elm in downtown in Dallas.
I heard.
Hot tub behind some barbed wire down there at my warehouse.
Isn't that where Four Corners is now?
Yes. Oh, yes. Across the street. They're also on Irve. I'm Irve. I'm 2120 Irve, and they're about 4 or 5 blocks up the road from
dear.
Yeah, if you go a little bit south of there, it gets a little scary.
Yeah, I'm south of there. Oh, so. my warehouse says the space on the outside, so just fire your gun when you drive by, and I'll go let you know. I'll wave out.
Nice.
I know that guy.
Yeah. Oh. So I don't know how we got in. Oh, yeah, we were talking about mattresses. I knew there was some sort of weird segue.
Casper.
It's a
sponsor of ours.
I didn't even know where we got off on mattresses. I'm like, oh, I said that.
This is how bad.
Beer's good.
It's how bad we'd be at sponsors. So what do we think of this Trillium, this holy grail of IPAs?
It's quite rare.
I'm not allowed to talk about these things.
Unfortunately, when I have hazy IPAs or things that are Northeast style, I really need to have more than one because my memory fails me. I don't know that I'd be able to correctly place this anywhere in comparison to another Trillium or a Treehouse or an Alchemist or whatever.
It's good beer. I like to drink a lot of different good beers, and this is definitely in the boathouse. I don't necessarily quite follow what it would be like to only have one type of beer that I liked. That would probably be pretty rough. But that's getting into the categories of things that y'all probably don't want to talk about.
Oh, no.
Well, according to Untappd, that's all you should brew. So
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to do a pastry stout soon that must be named by its entirety in order for you to get a glass of it. And it's called My Wife Hasn't Touched My Dick in 7 Years.
So. Oh.
We're really embracing
the
community. Really embracing the community and trying to show our support to our loyal followers in DFWS Talk Craft Beer that have never been there and refuse to come because of their 3.72 rating on
interesting
on our hazy IPA.
Wow, hazy.
God damn it. and that's something that Jason's pointed out. Like going back to the guy that posted all that bullshit.
Yeah.
He's talked about like show me people's numbers and I'll show you what people buy and what they drink, because a lot of people that buy that beer like Grits, like I think on Untappd it has like a 3.35 or 3.6,
yeah,
which
it's cream ale.
It's a cream ale.
Sounds about 3.5 to me.
But I bet you sell a shit ton of that stuff.
Oh hell yeah, definitely.
As mm-hmm. compared to Brain Dead Red.
Brain Dead Red, you know, funny you say that, is currently on the shelf right now because we pretty much only sell it in the building. The kegs that go out into distribution don't end up anywhere. So we kind of shelved Brain Dead Red for a little while, which is funny. Yeah. It was the first beer we ever thought would be our flagship, and it was the first beer to get discontinued.
Oh,
disco.
It'll be back. I look forward to it. We love Brain Dead Red in the house, and we've got some employees that it's like the whole reason they work there is to drink free Brain Dead Red. So
nice.
It'll definitely be back around. We're just trying to brew new things all the time. We're on our third batch. Speaking of hazy IPAs, we're on our third batch of Happiness Comes From Within, which was our second attempt at the New England.
Is that a Beatles style song? Sounds like a Beatles song.
Happiness comes from within.
Just does.
Really, it was just advice more than anything. Just stop looking for external validation on things and just sit down and enjoy a beer.
What was that on the one y'all made? It was Haze Bros Tears?
No, that's... turning point.
Yankee Fetish was our first. Nice. Yankee Fetish was our first hazy IPA.
Oh. No, or No Haze Bros.
We haven't. I don't think we have a.
God damn it!
No, Turning Point has a Pilsner that is bright. That is not even a little bit hazy. Called Haze Bros. Here.
Yep.
Sorry. Y'all did a Pilsner that was mocking hazy IPAs. I swear.
Uh-oh. Hey, Rody, remember I said Turning Point a second ago?
I think you're talking about Turning Point.
Uh-oh.
I don't think we did. Our Pilsner. He's
got his phone out.
Hey, Goo Goo.
And you know we. Drew's goal is to brew 100 unique recipes in 2018. So
nice.
He might have slipped one past the goalie.
We know someone.
I don't know.
We know someone that did that.
We've got Exhausted Nihilist, Automatic Standard. You know, we tend to kind of get a little bit weird with our lager names.
Can I just say, I fucking love your beer names. I have always been a big proponent of a beer name should be something that stands out. Unfortunately, I'm brewing very basic styles at New Main, but beer names need to be thought out. And sometimes the best homebrew names I ever came up with was we brewed the batch of beer, we sat down, got drunk on it, and then came up with the name.
Hey, you know, that's the beauty of the brew pub. Drew buries a lot of Futurama stuff in there, and there's all kinds of things. We took a brewer field trip today. Their tanks were all backed up, and I hadn't been doing my sales job to help them do what they need to do, which is brew. So we went and took a brewer field trip. Me, Jeff, Spencer, Jared, Muck, and Drew. I think that's all of them. We went and saw Avengers Infinity War today.
Yeah, now we can talk about that. Today? You saw it today?
Yeah, like at 1 o'clock. Yeah, we went and drank a lot of beer at Alamo Draft House.
First?
I loudly heckled that movie. It was great. We had a good time. Jeff is just like, I don't know, man. He just was really digging it. He was being really loud in there.
I love that movie.
But yeah, we came up with all kinds of fun beer names during that movie. We want to do one called Thanos Says So and just do 50% low fills on the 750s and just be really, really careful, with our CO2 purging and just sit down about a bunch of half full beers and call it Thanos Said So.
Somebody needs to do a snap beer that's like, you know, 19%. Lights out.
Legally, I'm capped at, I think,
17.
16.9 is the highest I'm allowed to brew without breaking the law.
Did you enjoy the movie?
I did.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a big movie watcher, so I didn't know who about half those people were.
It was so weird to watch that movie without knowing anything about
it. You know,
so
you see, like, the guy with the glove was a bad guy, and then there was
Spider-Man.
Another guy.
You know, what's going on here?
I thought Tobey Maguire was Spider-Man.
Yeah, you know.
What the fuck?
That's what I thought, too. Excuse me. I did notice at the end of the credits, we were talking about Deadpool a second ago and Fox owning Deadpool, but at the end of the credits, they mentioned a Fox-owned Arrested Development character being in Infinity War, and I didn't catch that. I just saw it in the credits. Which character was
he? So the Collector? In the nowhere where they went to, and Thanos was killing that guy. And it was
Spoiler alert. Spoiler. Yep.
He was in one of the
one guy that Thanos killed.
So if you knew about the Collector, he collects random things from all over the world that he had collected Tobias in the Blue Man suit.
No way.
So he's in there.
So David Cross is in back there. Yeah, and he was never nude. Was he just jorts and,
and jorts and blue?
He just blued himself.
I cannot wait for season 5 of that, by the way.
No, that's just a remix of season 4 too, right?
No. There's a whole new season coming.
I heard season 5 was literally just footage of season 4 that they recut.
The remix is out now. You can watch that now.
Okay.
But the season 5 comes up, like, at the end of May.
All right.
I'm like,
holy shit, Jason.
I've been catching up, actually. While I was homesick, I watched Thor Ragnarok, and then I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and then I watched the entire second and third season of Arrested Development.
David, you can always come home. We miss you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm a karaoke guy. I love singing karaoke. It's one of my favorite things to do when I drink too much is just go sing karaoke. And Brandy by Looking Glass has always been one of my favorites, my favorite B-sides. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching the movie and I'm like, God damn it, that just ruined this karaoke song. Now it's current.
It's hip again.
Yeah. Looking Glass. But yeah,
deep cuts only.
That whole he did a really good job of just like Chris Pratt being just he's still that guy from Parks and Recreation,
Andy Dwyer.
But now he's just in good shape and gets ladies and yeah. has a space mask and a blazer pistol and yep. just doesn't shine as many shoes.
And he's the same way in Jurassic Park too. That's why he's not being added to a whole bunch of movies right now.
Yeah, that crispy rat is like, doing good right now.
Good for you. Did I say Jurassic Park 2? Jurassic Park? Yeah.
Well, Jurassic Universe.
Whatever the...
Jurassic be. Infinity War.
Yes.
The dinosaurs just...
Jurassic World 2, whatever the...
I don't know where we stand on the spoilers either, but I really like sympathized with Thanos. I thought the whole
he's basically an accountant.
Did you watch it?
Not yet.
Okay, you so know. Don't ruin it for Dave.
Well, no, I'm probably gonna go watch it like tomorrow.
You fucking better.
Well, what I'm not gonna like ruin anything actually about the music.
Like he's a bad guy. Movie, he probably kills someone, right?
Movie. Yeah. He kills people.
No.
And I don't feel like this is giving it away, but the Thanos ethos is just that. There's too many people in the world that half of them should go away.
Dwight Schrute.
That's his.
This world needs a new plague.
Amen. Dude. I mean, come on. Right is right. Am I right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just there's different ways to go about it.
And someone's like, why didn't you just use the Infinity Gauntlet to create twice as many resources? Well, I know, but then that spurs for future population growth, and then you have an even bigger problem later on the road.
Yeah. Definitely.
I actually went down a Wikipedia wormhole on that.
You've already read some spoilers.
Well, I mean, I understand he's coming to end the world. It's called Infinity War, so I assume it's something that's
coming
just
to
like,
save the world. Come on, man.
Right.
Jesus, get on Christ. Board.
When I look at him, I can't unsee Bruce Willis.
Or the
I know that's not the actor. I can't unsee. That's Bruce Willis with a really fucked up chin. That's all I can see.
Makes sense, I guess. But
I think a Hellboy more than anything else.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Hellboy good one, too. Like,
big old fucking.
It actually kind of sounds like
is
him.
Hellboy
too.
This universe, yeah. too? It's like, he I does. Thought Hellboy was cool.
So this last, well, I don't know if it's the last one. We're drinking that last one.
I want
that beer. I'm okay. excited about that right. one. This is the fifth anniversary
the penultimate
ale from
beer.
Rough Tail Brewing, Oklahoma. Rhodey visits there quite regularly.
More than I'd like.
This is a hazy IPA, isn't it?
Yes, it's a New England IPA.
It's pretty good.
I enjoy this one. I actually had this on draft at...
what else did some of this?
Cool Keg recently. Left.
It tastes better than the one we just had.
I unfortunately agree.
So,
although David, thank you so much for giving us that beer. I respect David, that it was very
David respects
very
our opinions. That's what I like about him.
Well, not David's you know, anymore.
I think the problem is this one actually tastes like hops instead of citrus fruit.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yep. I get a little melon out of this.
Like yeah. God intended.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, I like that. I like all of the beer's flavors. That's why I drink beers. I like all of them.
Yeah.
You know, as much as a brewer shouldn't really say this, my favorite beer is the beer I've never had before. Like, it's when I'm drinking with a friend. Like,
hell yeah.
I don't give a shit. That's why I started Growler Stations, and probably why you guys started this is because you like drinking beer and hanging out with people and
almost,
shooting the shit.
Yeah. You know? Almost as important as how good a beer is the company you share. I mean, Amen. We all have had a beer by ourselves because sometimes you just need to have a beer and you know, have some me time. But sharing beer like this, like, not very many people get to do this regularly. Actually sit down and try new beers and talk about it and have content.
Totally.
The fact that we have the show to do that is fucking awesome. It's also kind of fueling our beer addiction, but it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So now's a good time. I'm
walking into a room and get sweaty with a bunch of dudes you didn't know before. Like that could
Dude,
be
hashtag hotbox, man.
Yeah, I took my pants off already. We're fine. And now I'm just wearing this stupid suit jacket and a tie, and I feel like an idiot with no pants on.
It's okay. Chris actually auditioned in a tuxedo and farted the whole time.
Whole time? That's impressive. Time. How did you hold that note? That's a bowel control.
I feel like there's a joke that I was left out of.
That was Step Brothers. Yep.
But I didn't know Chris was part of that.
I just picked the only person in this room whose face I have not been able to see
because
like, there's monitors.
Like you were saying, it's all about drinking beer, and that's one of the reasons that I'm here. It can be, you know, I would imagine that people that aren't subscribers to the, you know, the whatever book it is that we're all subscribers of, that, hey, drink beer and be nice to each other.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a good time. But, you know, it could be an intimidating thing. Hey, drive an hour in 5 o'clock traffic and come hang out with us on a Wednesday afternoon. It's like, okay.
I don't want to.
But will there be beer there? Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll see you guys.
We got ourselves a show.
See you guys in a few. How long is this thing? 15 minutes? Oh, no, 2 hours. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Two hours.
No big deal.
And we're going to barter you with questions. We need to start, guests that are quiet, we need to start torturing them.
You have quiet waterboarding.
I like it. I like it. Keep let's develop this idea. This is an excellent new podcast.
Am I not a quiet guest?
No, you're fine.
Should I be me more subservient?
We've had the quiet guests and then the ones that back off from the mic. They're like, hey.
we like to call that the game.
What are you doing? Plus, you got to check out New Main, the location here.
Yes, so
true. Little,
yeah. Is there going to run a hose up here and we're going to drink some New Main beer at some point?
I would love to. I don't have my TTB license yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's close.
Still waiting on that.
So
close.
All right.
And
so we can drink a random unlabeled beer and not talk about what's in it.
You know, I think I've got a few.
Yeah.
We were talking about fun TABC stories, and I had sample cans confiscated from my cooler, and they said they were unlabeled cans from Martin House because they just put some blanks
That's
in there
what they
and
they
were dropping out some samples. Mm-hmm. And they actually confiscated them, wrote me up a ticket for having unlicensed product in my building, and seized that product. Which is not necessarily something that they legally should do. And,
correct.
And I requested that it be returned to me. They agreed that it should be returned to me and told me that it's just probably in a evidence locker somewhere and they'd get it right back to me. And they still haven't, along with the letter from the Attorney General for my Freedom of Information Act request that no one unanswered to as well. But I digress.
Motherfuckers.
The government is awesome.
Damn. TABC, if you're listening to this... Fuck you.
That was not Sam Wynn that just said that. I'd like to take the show. I, for one, welcome our new alcoholic beverage overlords.
Actually, you know what? TABC has been fine. That's another Futurama reference. TABC has been fine. It's TTB that we've been sitting on 65, 70, 75, 80, 90 days waiting to hear back from.
So, you know, according to TTB, you're supposed to have your brewery completely built and in place before you start applying for any of those things. So,
boy, howdy, wouldn't that be nice if that worked that way?
That's one way to do it.
I actually do. I have all my equipment. I'm an engineer. I actually drew out my floor plan. I have everything labeled and dimensioned and closest. They want to know closest doors and windows, which ones will be locked, which are exterior access, which are 24-hour access.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they got that information.
Well done, sir.
It was your butthole.
Yes.
That is 24-hour access.
Let me ask you a few questions.
Ace Ventura reference. Damn it. So are you available like this time next week? Is this...
I'll replace the iPad next week.
Yes.
Damn, it's a Samsung. No. You just insulted the shit out of my Samsung.
Sorry. I'm a Sam and I... it, so you know.
I'm just trying to drink.
I mean,
I'm just trying to get ready to open that red, and I'm so excited about that red. But it's in whiskey barrels, so I don't know how excited I should be.
That's true.
And David's peeling away the tape.
It's wax. No, it's not me. You can't see me. It's Thanos doing that.
So Sam, you brought up just a little while ago, you have your own show called Growler Stations. Do you want to kind of go into that and what that is?
Yeah, Growler Stations is really like kind of a YouTube thing that Jeff and I started. Episode one was quite literally my phone leaning up against an empty growler.
Those are the best episodes. You will come to appreciate them.
Really, we wanted to see how long it takes two people to talk consistently and finish a growler at the same time. So Jeff and I, we drank a growler in about 14 minutes. Also one of us was pretty much talking the whole time.
So you both drank a growler a piece, or
no?
Just
we
one
split
growler?
One. We split one growler.
So 32 ounces a piece.
In about 15
roughly.
Minutes.
Okay.
And that was really speed test. You know, we were intentionally sitting down to pound some beers and talk. And, you know, Jeff and I are both subscribers to the Church of Beer and Talking is awesome.
Yes.
So, you know, it went pretty quickly. After that, we started inviting some guests. And since we were adding more people, we added more growlers. And we pretty much settled out at two growlers of beer and 30 to 40 minutes of chit-chat. And now we are going to be doing episode 21, I think, next week with Michael Petticolis of Petticolis Brewing Company.
That is awesome.
We just open some beer and talk. Everyone's like, oh, what do we do? And it's like, you guys may have noticed that I asked zero questions about what was going on today. Because, you know, that's what Growler Station does. Like, don't ask questions. I intentionally show up like 5 minutes before filming so I don't ruin any of the good bullshit.
Dude.
That's one of the hardest parts. You got to not talk to your friends.
Absolutely. I mean, episode 18 was Adam Avery. I like within 15 episodes, I had a professional film crews. I got picked up by an organization called Central Track, which is really trying to do arts, beer, music, bring the writing back to media instead of just copying and pasting press releases and supporting the sponsors, the people that pay you for ads. And they really like go out and read and write stories, and they put in the effort of filming my stupid Growler Stations thing. And, you know, I just sit down and drink quickly with some people, musicians, bar owners, restaurant owners, brewery owners. I had Ken Bethay of Old 97s on a couple weeks ago while they were gearing up for Old 97s County Fair. And I try to find people that have something that they want to promote and, you know, try to have them get slutty with me on the microphone.
Yes.
And we drink some beer and enjoy ourselves. And so that's kind of what Growler Stations has turned into. We drink 128 ounces of beer and about 40 minutes. Sometimes there's some shots and extra beers before and after and during. And I try to show my guests how much I can throw a weekday off the rails before 5 o'clock. without fail, I usually get a text the next day about the random string of events that my Growler Stations ended up having my guest go on. But Adam Avery was really, you know, obviously he's Adam Avery. We're beer guys. Like, you know, here's his name tattooed on my body. You know, like, he's a big deal to me. Before I opened Brain Dead, I had the Wayne's World 2 dream. Everyone's seen Wayne's World 2. Yeah, so Adam Avery was my Jim Morrison. I still had a random Weird Naked Indian. There wasn't really, anybody that replaced the Weird Naked Indian.
Yeah.
But me and Adam Avery wandered through the deserts of West Texas, and he had just opened a water park brewery in West Texas.
Huh.
You know, that's besides
the point. As one does.
But he pretty much, you know, we had that talk, and it was like, look, man, like, it's scary, and it's going to suck, and the people that you're going to try to please, some of them are going to love you, and some of you are going to hate you, but that's just going to be part of it, and get out there and do it. You can either be a contributor to this world, or you can be someone that just sucks the fun out of it. So
that's awesome.
I like laying my nuts on the table and trying to bring joy to people's lives.
So since you're going to have Michael on the show, could me and Jason invite you to join the Velvet Hammer Challenge?
Yep.
I know better than to accept challenges. Yes.
This is where I was going.
I might come to your podcast without asking any questions, but Velvet Hammer Challenge, I'm going to have to get some.
So you have to take down a 64-ounce growler of Velvet Hammer by yourself.
Within 2 hours.
Within 2 hours?
We did a show. We'll start this all started by me on accident. So I had bought two growlers from Craft and Growler.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They labeled them wrong. So I get my growlers like, you know what? This is a golden opportunity. I can do that. That's easy. Whatever. Yeah. Pop.
Sit on the porch.
And as soon as I popped it, I caught that whiff. I was like, that is not golden opportunity. That is fucking Velvet Hammer.
Oh, no.
And I was like, not going to waste it.
Golden Opportunity doesn't have Munich malts in it. What's going on here?
So I did the whole entire thing by myself within about 2.5 hours.
Woo.
My wife came home and found me asleep with the controller in my hand, passed out on the couch.
That's a spicy one.
With the game going.
I like that. You know what? That's a good idea. I should sneak attack Michael Petticolis with a growler.
Yes.
So he knows about it.
It was but I'm gonna videotape him splitting one with so fun in about 20 minutes.
Fuck yeah!
But what we decided you might take this because what we decided to do was I told all of my friends about it and Rody's like I want to do that too. So we both bought one and did it. What we did was we recorded an episode, mm-hmm. but we couldn't release that obviously. So we went back on top of that episode and did commentary.
Oh,
and it was so much fun. We'd play we'd play a little section of our, and then we would commentate. You know, we'd stop it and be like, "Oh my God, what was going on?" And it was pretty fun.
So here, I think I was trying to talk about the finer points of the Dallas Mavericks lineup, but came out was
there was a Dallas Cowboys game going on in the background, and I kept Matt Cassell. Yeah. He's so good at football.
Oh, so bad.
The last Growler Sessions we did, we skipped last week because Anton, our partner with Central Trek, was out filming something at Google headquarters or something like that. But the week before, we had Jason Burt from Medicine Man Revival, which is a cool, like modern soul funk thing that all is going on right now with Jason and a guy named Keith. They're both really cool guys making badass music and doing the things they're, you know. And in Deep Ellum, I'm exposed to all kinds of really great musicians. But
nice.
He's not necessarily a beer guy, and he agreed to come on to this thing and was like, all right, yeah, we're going to drink some beers. You know, what's going on? I'm like, well, we're the three of us are going to drink 128 ounces of beer in about 40 minutes and, you know, hold on to your butts, as Samuel Jackson said. and we poured Army of Frogs. Double IPA. We have this new Frog IPA series. We call it Frog because it hops around. The hops change all the time.
And, nice.
So Army of Frogs became the Imperial IPA that fell into that series. And it was all Summit hops, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. And I crack open 64 ounces of 10.5% alcohol. Army of Frogs. We're sitting there with, you know, Nonic pint glasses. Oh, and we... poured 16 or probably, you know, 14 and a half ounces of beer in everybody's glass. And, you know, part of Growler Sessions is it's a live stream. So it's going beginning to end. Mm-hmm. I don't have any cuts in there. And part of that is you see the growlers start full and end up empty. And
nice.
That's why we don't edit. That's kind of part of why Growler Sessions is the way that it is. And so we pour these pints of 10.5% double IPA out, and Jason, the guy who's like not super familiar with beer, just takes it and pours the thing straight down his throat.
See you on the other side, motherfucker.
Get like half a burp, like, boom. That one was strong, wasn't it? Like, yeah. And then I looked at Jeff and I just made mine disappear. And Jeff, who's not normally a guy to be the last to finish his beer, was like, well, come on, guys, you're gonna give me some warning. Next thing we know,
scoring me.
That Army of Frogs growler was done before the 10-minute mark of that. Of that Growler Sessions. And later that night, we have staff Dungeons and Dragons on Tuesday, and we had staff Dungeons and Dragons, and Jeff, my partner Jeff's wife, calls me and asked me what happened to Jeff. I was like, I don't know. He's not at Growler, or he was at Growler Sessions. We drank some beer, and then, you know, he's not here. He's like, oh, yeah, he came home. I just wanted to know what he did with you before he got there. I was like, no, he's fine. She was totally sweet, understanding. She just, like, wanted to know what happened to him. Jeff can hold his alcohol, and he, like, shows up at 6 p.m., completely obliterated. It's like, I'm going to go sleep on the couch. You got the kids, right? It's like, what? It's not even dinner time yet. What did you do? But yeah, it's funny what can happen. So
that's awesome.
Tune in live next week where I'm going to sneak attack Michael Petacolis with a growler of Velvet Hammer.
And we'll do it.
See what happens to the man himself.
Can I tell you a quick story of when
please
I fell
stop
in love?
Me from talking. Please.
The moment I fell in love with Michael Petacolis, we went to Luck and they had a co-headlining event with
Revolver. I've got the glass with Revolver and Petacolis on it.
Yeah, we got to talk to Michael and to Grant. And Grant came over and talked to us for like 5 seconds and then left. And they had their dry hopped Iron Head. It wasn't very good. I didn't enjoy it. But Michael came over when I had it. And he talked to us for like an hour. And I poured out that beer right in front of him. I was like, I'm going to go get some pedicolas. I'll be back real quick. And then we went up there that Saturday. He still remembered my name. And he wasn't sober.
that's impressive.
I was like, I love you, man.
He's a talented dude. Yes, I one of my favorite memories of all of Dallas beer memories is remembering him coming home with that medal. I swear he wore that Great American Beer Fest medal for Royal Scandal. He wore that around his neck underneath his shirt for 7 or 8 days when he first got back in town.
That's fucking beautiful. That.
Well, and my favorite part about it was his story, and you know, being a brewer and going to Great American Beer Festival is kind of one of those surreal things, you know. And in order to go pour at the beer festival, you're entered into the competition, and it's like all of a sudden you have this like pipe dream of winning a gold medal as a first year brewer while you're at the largest beer festival in the world. You know, you just can't help but get caught up in the whole thing. And and Michael's story about winning. He came and he was listening, and they were, you know, you have your four categories of beers that you entered, and, you know, category 123, you know, like there's a lot of awards issued that day. Mm-hmm. And he heard they issued the bronze and they issued the silver, and when they said Royal Scandal, before they said Pedicolas Brewing Company, his first reaction was, somebody stole my fucking name. And he thought that somebody else named the beer the same thing. And that was like, that was his gut reaction when he won a gold medal at Great American Beer Festival, was that somebody stole his name and won a goddamn medal with it.
You dicks.
Yeah, so I'll never forget that. You know, I like to say Michael brought back the first GABF medal of the modern Dallas brewing scene, obviously with North Texas. I believe RAR had won some in some recent years, so I can't drag that out to all of North Texas, but Michael really brought back the first one for Dallas.
Good for you.
Of the memory of my life. That was always a really special thing for me.
Awesome.
I've stood by it. Pedicolas is my favorite local brewery for sure.
Well, thanks. Appreciate you.
I've had to tell many of friends that. I was like, oh.
You know, I love the brewery too. And I love the people behind it. I love everything about that place. Georgina is going to be moving on soon, which kind of makes me sad. She's definitely a part of the many things that I love about that brewery.
Damn, all
of their things. But you know, that's just old school North Texas beer. You know, all we had was each other there.
It comes down to the people, and when it's about the people, when the brewery builds itself around the people, you can fucking tell.
Yeah.
You can tell the folks that, you know, like you said, like, oh, they're in to make a buck, or they're in because someone told them their beer was good. That's totally fine also. But when it's that old school, that brewer to brewer, that, you know, respect shown, something like that, when a brewer wins a GABF medal and wears it for a fucking week,
yeah,
that's when you know it means something to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Pedicolas and, you know, maybe Martin House are probably the only two breweries where you see, like, the entire staff arrive at an event. And it's actually a positive thing. It's like, hey, there's the Pedicolas guys. They're all wearing their hoodies and high-fiving each other and, like, being cool to everybody because they go to all the breweries and all the bars, and that's how those Martin House guys are. They're wearing shorts and calling, you know, doing all the bro puns and the things. And you know, it's just like you're excited to see them. You know, one of the things with beer is we're always wearing our logos and stuff, and, you know, it's like, you know, when those guys are there, they're not there to steal the show. They're there to add to it and be a part of the community and support their brothers in the business and sisters. So, you know, I love all of that, and I love those people for flying that flag and being part of the good team, and, you know, reminding everybody what old school craft beer is all about.
Tell our listeners where they can find you.
Brain Dead Brewing.
Oh,
Facebook. No, on Instagram. That's all we care about.
What? Yeah,
on Untapped. That's all we care about.
Untapped / YYZX2Y4. No, I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
What do you, what
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They got Brain Dead Brewing.
No. Yeah, Brain Dead. Anything you want to promote? Yeah. Conversations.
You know,
I'm your Pornhub site, whatever you got.
I did just start my own channel, so you should check that out. Brain Dead Sam. Instagram at / Pornhub.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
No me in it. I just take other.
There hasn't been a craft beer.
I was wondering.
Yet. Take videos that we film at the brewery, and it's just pretty much exclusively those.
Nice.
No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, I do a lot of Instagram. Saucer Sam is me personally. Brain Dead Brew is Brain Dead. Bowls and Tacos, Bowls and Tacos. I also have a weird thing called Dallas Kicks Ass. I like celebrating other people's awesomeness. I'm the proud owner of DallasKicksAss.com. Nice. And so it's mostly an Instagram thing more than anything, where I brag on other restaurants and bars and food people. Growler Stations is on YouTube, picked up by Central Track. So we go live on Central Track, and then we live on forever with a 4K upload on YouTube. And I don't know. Try to not find me. That's probably the best thing. You know, it used to all be about standing at your front door and shaking hands when people walked into your business, and it's just not that way anymore. Now you got to go meet people in their living room and shake their hand digitally while they're in their underwear.
That's not awkward.
Instead of in your business. Yeah, but that's just that's where it is. That's where you got to go meet people. So,
oh, nice. You went with the classic heart boxers. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, good choice.
Absolutely.
So here I am with my stuff.
So there I am, partially dressed right there in your living room with you, on whatever medium you're willing to have me.
But definitely thanks for coming out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks. Enjoyed this. I hope I let you guys talk enough. Is that
We're tired of us talking.
Good.
All right, listeners, don't forget to check out our friends at CNK Crew. Controllers and keyboards. We love these guys. LAN Party, David.
LAN Party, July 14th through 15th. That's right. We start in the evening and go into the wee hours of the morning. Bring your Bring your computer. We're going to have a console village. We're going to have prizes. We're going to have Dirtiest Keyboard. We're going to have a special beer made just for that event. We'll have concessions for those of you under the age of 21. If you're listening to this podcast and you're under the age of 21, drink beer. It's not going to kill you. Don't quote me on that.
Probably already certified Cicerones anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be really great. Look out for a lot of information. We're actually going to start putting out, both us and Controllers and Keyboards to announce it. Facebook event.
It's coming.
It's going to have its own webpage. We'll have sponsors. We'll have gifts, swag, all kinds of stuff.
Pint and Play.
Pint and Play is what it's called.
It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, don't forget to check out our brothers and sisters. We love them. CNK Crew, Controllers and Keyboards, search them. Y'all have a good night.
Adios.
This is The Goat wanting to thank you for listening to that episode of Casually Lit. Now, I would also like to thank you for listening to us, Controllers and Keyboards. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch at / CNK Crew. Also, www.controllersandkeyboards.com.